Thank you. So, I spent this last week in Tennessee with my mom, who, as most of you know, has cancer. The wig I'm wearing is hers, because in January, when she lost her hair, she went wig shopping with my sister, and they had some fun trying on wigs. In between trying to find a serious wig she might wear out, they found some other wigs that she liked too, and they particularly liked this one, so the shopkeeper gave it to my mom. As I sat in the doctor's office with my mom this week, as she got chemo, I was thinking about today, Holy Laughter Sunday. It's kind of an ironic spot for me to be in. When I put this Sunday on the calendar, I was thinking I would be preaching a very different sermon, you know, something humorous and witty. But the truth is, I'm really not that funny. So, you know, if we wanted funny, we should have gotten Ed or Michael, and maybe next year we will. But today you get me. So this week I was thinking about how just the irony of the situation I was in, and I was thinking about how often I've had conversation with church members about how sometimes joy and laughter can seem kind of insensitive. Like if a loved one dies, you feel like you're betraying them if you're having fun, if you're happy. You ever had that experience? I know I have. How do we celebrate the joys of life, the good news of Easter, the news that Jesus was raised from the dead, conquering the power of brokenness and death, when at any given time, people around us are going through all kinds of difficulty, illness, difficulty at work, loss of marriage, the death of a loved one? How do we celebrate? How do we laugh? It can seem weird to talk about singing with joy as the psalmist does in our passage of scripture for today. But then I was thinking about the beauty of the Psalms and how they reflect so well the profound joy and the deep sadness of the human life. Some of the most joyous passages of Scripture in the entire Bible are found in the Psalms. Passages like Psalm 126, which says, "Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy." And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have the Psalms of Lament, which focus on expressing that deep sorrow that we all experience from time to time. Passages like Psalm 22, which says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" What I love about the Psalms is that they are not naive about life. They're real. They come right out of the depths of real life, where pain and suffering, joy, beauty, happiness, and laughter collide. They acknowledge with confidence that wherever we are, whatever our circumstances, we are surrounded by God's love. And in the midst of it all, both pain and joy, is God. Okay, I can't take it anymore. I don't know. Did y'all hear anything I said? I don't know. Perhaps this is why some of the most somber passages of Scripture in the Bible also talk about joy and laughter. It's kind of weird. But Psalm 30 says, "Weeping may tarry for the night, but what comes in the morning? Joy comes in the morning." And of course, Ecclesiastes 3, which says, "For everything there is a season, a time, for every matter under heaven, a time to weep and a time to laugh," right? Laughter and joy live alongside pain and hardship in Scripture, just like in life. In the New Testament, Jesus also talks about joy and the gift of laughter alongside difficulty. In the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Blessed are you who weep, for you will laugh." On two different occasions in the Gospel of John, Jesus talks about the importance of joy and the laughter that joy produces. John 16, 33 says, "In this world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Jesus certainly had his share of hardship. If anybody had reason to be a grumpy curmudgeon, Jesus did. But this is what we know about Jesus. He talked often about joy. He was a frequent guest at parties. His first miracle, in fact, when they ran out of wine, Jesus turned water into wine to keep the party going, right? People loved to have Jesus into their homes. They enjoyed his company. It doesn't take much to imagine that these events were joyful, filled with fun, laughter. Jesus was also a great storyteller. And all storytellers know the value of humor. And Jesus loved children. Children are an endless source of joy and laughter. You can't be around them long without laughing. Jesus enjoyed relationships with others, and he was often playful with the disciples. Like when he meets Nathanael for the first time. Nathanael makes a wise crack about Jesus' hometown. "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" he says, or Tennessee, right, Park? He basically calls Jesus a backwater, small-town boy. Nathanael's biting humor doesn't bother Jesus at all. In fact, as James Martin says, it kind of seems to delight him. Jesus says, "Now here is truly an Israelite in whom there's no deceit." In other words, I can trust this guy. And after that, Nathanael becomes one of the 12 apostles. Certainly, Jesus took his ministry seriously. But as Christians, we have to let go of the notion that he is grim-faced. Ultimately, Jesus reveals to us the God who is loving and joyful, and we are to share in that joy. And laughter is a byproduct of that, which means laughter in our life with God isn't just acceptable, it's fun, it's important, it's necessary in the spiritual life. So back to Psalm 100. Psalm 100 is a hymn written to be sung by pilgrims going into the temple, the sanctuary, to bring offerings of thanksgiving to God. And as they enter, they're singing, they're worshiping God, rejoicing at what God has done for them. And as the Message version of the Bible translates this passage, "On your feet now, applaud God, bring a gift of laughter, sing yourselves into God's presence." The psalm encourages the pilgrims to jump for joy and come into God's presence with laughter and song. Laughter and joy at the goodness of God. Bring a gift of laughter, it says. One of my favorite sounds in all the world is the sound of my son, Nate, laughing. Every parent, grandparent, aunt, uncle, you can all understand that, right? We all love the sound of kids laughing. Hearing your child laugh is such a joy. You know, you tickle them just so you can hear them laugh. And I was thinking, my guess is, God feels that same way about us. One of God's favorite sounds must be the sound of his children laughing. This is why Psalm 100 calls it a gift. Bring a gift of laughter and singing into God's presence. It brings God's joy to hear us laugh. So Pastor Robert Hill writes, "So laugh, tell jokes, even bad jokes. Do skits, practice jesting. Hold on to the comical, laugh. Laugh instead of complaining. Laugh instead of whining. Laugh instead of remaining silently indignant. Laugh instead of living in regret. Laugh instead of abiding in resentment. Laugh long and hard because God has called us to experience the fullness of human life and the joy of being a person of faith. We laugh because we love God, and God loves the sound of his children giggling, chuckling, snickering, and belly laughing. So bring a gift of laughter into God's presence. Jump with joy and praise God. Amen. Let's pray together. So God, we're so grateful for the gift of laughter. Knowing, God, that when we laugh, we are reflecting your image. We're created in your image, God, and joy and laughter is part of who you are and who you made us to be. So we thank you, God, for just the opportunity to worship you today, to have fun together, and just to delight in each other's company and in telling jokes and in worshiping you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we're going to stand and sing with joy our hymn of commitment, number 679, When We All Get to Heaven. And I'll be here at the front if anyone's here today and you need prayer or you're interested in becoming a part of this crazy bunch of Christians here at First Baptist. I'd love to talk with you. Let's stand and sing.